So if you have your Bible with you this morning, let's turn once again back to the book of Ephesians. And so you'll go Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians. You're in the latter part toward the New Testament. And we'll be picking up where we left off last week as we have Paul's letter to the church initially at Ephesus and yet also to go around to the surrounding churches that are there. And we, like we talked about last week, we need to think about this in chapters 1, 2, 3 as gospel doctrine, theology in that sense. And then 4, 5, and 6 we pick up as that of church practice. And so last week we talked about what does it mean to be a saint. And it's very important that we remember that this day, that this letter is to the saints. And who were the saints? The saints are those who are believers. We would use the term, they are Christians. They are ones who have surrendered their life. They understood the conviction of the Holy Spirit upon their life, that it identified them, that they realized they were a sinner before a holy and righteous God, and therefore they have repented of their sin, confessed before the Lord, and God has been faithful and just to redeem them of their sin, and therefore has changed their life and is in the process of transforming them and making them into the believers that he desires for them to be. And just as Paul wrote the letter to them, he writes the letter to us. And so that's where we'll pick up today. And so if you have found in your Bible the book of Ephesians chapter 1, and you are able, let's rise and honor the reading of God's word this morning as we begin in verse 3, and we'll read down through verse 14. And so Paul writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons of Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. In him also we have attained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of his glory." Let's praise this morning. Dear Lord God, we praise you and we thank you as we have been able to gather here once again. Lord, as we come to this time and we open up your words, and Lord, we just ask that you open up our eyes, our ears, our hearts, and our souls, that we would hear your word spoken to us, and that it would have the transformation power that your word does to convict us of our sin, to lead us to repentance, to be redeemed, but also to the work that your word does to continue to mold us and to shape us, to sanctify us to the image you have for us, that we may be your people that love you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And so we dedicate this time to you this day, for it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So you may be seated. So like I said, we come to this time, and as I mentioned earlier, we need to remember, who is Paul writing to? And he is writing to those who are the saints. He is writing to those who are the believers. He is writing to those who are found in Christ. And that is all important because there are things that we see out of this. There are blessings, which we will talk about, and there we receive blessing from God because we belong to God. And in order to get the blessing that Paul is talking about here, you must belong. So we, the saints, have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And so therefore, what are we as the believers to do, but we are to give praise? It's an act of worship that we are to see take place in our lives as we come to God in this day and in this time. And so we find ourselves in verse 3 where we see, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." They did something. Who has blessed us? Now, the question we may need to ask, who is the us? And that goes back to the saints. And it's told you it's important that we remember that. And so Paul says that we have been blessed, but with what? Spiritual blessing. And so we may need to ask this question, what is the spiritual blessing that Paul is talking about here? And first and foremost, I want to talk a little bit about what it's not. And so Richard Cokin, who writes for the Ephesians for You in the commentary, he said the blessing Paul is speaking about are not the trivial and temporary trinkets of wealth and property. He said it's not, or even in the sense of Paul, the possibility of being released from prison. He says, but the spiritual blessing is the eternal treasure of personal reconciliation with God, which we experience in the spiritual dimension. And so what is this blessing? Number one, it is spiritual in nature and in all of that we see there. It's a spiritual blessing. Like Cokin talked about, it is not a trinket of our day and time. We oftentimes, I think, mostly in the Western church or in the Western culture, when we hear the word blessing, we automatically put a dollar sign or some amount of physical wealth or something of that we tend to wrap our minds around and we think we can wrap our hands around that shows that God has blessed us. But there is a greater blessing that Paul is talking about here. It is that we have been blessed with spiritual blessings that are not found in ourselves, but they find their origination in the Lord Himself through the Son, Jesus Christ, and see their outworking through the Holy Spirit. And so in the passage, what do we see? We see God the Father working, we see God the Son working, and we see God the Holy Spirit working. And who are the beneficiaries of this? Those of us who are believers. We see that. What do we see? We said we are blessed. As always, blessed with every. Some translation, you may see all. Here's what I want you to talk about. These spiritual blessings that we have been blessed with appear to us first and in full measure when we have come to faith in Christ. When we have acknowledged that we are a sinner and stand before God, and we are due to the punishment of our sin, that we have to pay that, and then we realize that our way that around that is that we have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. The work of Christ on the cross that said, I will take that punishment, I will take that wrath, and I will pay that. And when the Holy Spirit comes and dwells among us and convicts us of that, and we repent and we are redeemed by God, these blessings that Paul talks about take shape in our life for every person who is a believer. And guess what? They never leave us. They are more precious than gold. They are more precious than silver. They are the foundation by which we find ourselves. What are they? And particularly, a couple read a little bit of from who. They are our union with Christ. Spiritual blessing is that we are found with Christ. The spiritual blessing is that we are seated with Him in the heavenlies. And so there's an aspect that we look at that when we become a believer, we have a foot here in this earthly realm, and yet there's a greater realm that exists, and it is in the heavenlies. God dwells there. Christ sits there at the right hand, waiting. He intercedes for us between God, and He is waiting for the word. Son, go get your children. We will experience that first and foremost in full-blown measure on a day that is not today, apparently, but is yet to come. And so there's we have a part that is with us here and a part that is with us there, and there's a longing for us to be in glory with Him. It's another spiritual blessing we see that we have been adopted. We have been adopted as sons and daughters into the family of God. We have been redeemed, and we are the believers of Christ, also known as the church. Capital C Church. Those who by faith have trusted in God and find their salvation in none other than Jesus Christ. Warren Wiersbe says that the spiritual blessings we find then, they are the riches of God's grace spoken of here in Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 2. They are the riches of God's glory spoken of here in chapter 1 later, and then also in chapter 3. He says they are the riches of God's mercy spoken of in chapter 2. And they are the riches and the unsearchable depth and unsearchable riches of Christ seen in chapter 3, but also through the whole work. What do we see? Wiersbe says, the Father has given us every blessing, everything we need for a successful, satisfying Christian life. We have been given. And it is a blessing that is beyond measure. So we read here that there, blessed is God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And it's very important here that we acknowledge here that the in Christ part. Because if the in Christ section is not there, we have nothing. We have nothing. Paul's about to go on and explain to us. We have what we have because of Christ and the work that He did on the cross. And our blessings come from there. And our life is therefore, when we have come to experience the love of God in our life, that we have been redeemed by the blood of Christ, that there is a new focus in our life, that we find ourselves not satisfied with the here, but a longing for the there. We long to be with Christ, and there's a desire to follow Christ with everything that we have, and as a blessing from God, and we find it in that of the Father, through the Son, and the workings of the Holy Spirit in us. See, that is the blessing that we, the saints, we, the believers, have. Well, like I mentioned earlier, why do we have the blessings? Because we have the belonging. See, we are not our own. We belong to Christ. And so we pick up and we continue reading in verse 4. And so we've read in the heavenly places in Christ. And the belonging of who we are then picks up there through the rest of verse 14. I'll just give you a little bit of technical aspect from what the scholars all tell us. Beginning in verse 3 all the way through verse 14, when Paul wrote it, was just one big sentence. He got excited, I think, because the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through him, and he wrote. And he wrote that we may know. And so we read what? We belong to him. How? That just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. We belong to God. That's the reason we have the spiritual blessings. Some things we need to remember, some things we need to understand as we continue on, as we understand. And number one, all of what we see here, the subject of the matter is none other than God himself. It is God himself who took the initiative. We say the initiative in what? It is God himself that loved his creation in this matter, that he chose to rescue us from sin. Amen. He chose to rescue us from a life of damnation and paying for the penalty of sin. And he chose to rescue us and to show us grace and mercy. Need to be reminded, we cannot rescue ourselves from the judgment and from the payment of sin. We need to be reminded that without God, we have no hope. Without the work of Christ, we have no hope. We, left to ourselves, do not seek out the glory of God. Left to ourselves, we do not seek to feed people that love God with all of our heart and ourselves. But the sinful man loves the desires of the flesh and walks the ways of the flesh and walks the ways of the world. But by the grace of God, Christ. What else do we need to be reminded of here? God is sovereign. God is sovereign. And we go, what do you mean by that? And a doctrine in theology that you would understand and you would come to learn is called the sovereignty of God. I want to quote a Bible dictionary for this. It says, the sovereignty of God is the biblical teaching that God possesses all power and is the ruler of all things. God rules and works according to his eternal purpose, even through events that seem to contradict or oppose his rule. And so as we acknowledge that God takes the initiative, we also understand that God is sovereign. God is the one who has created all. He is the power of all. He has all power. He has all authority. And all things are working out according to what God's desires are, not according to Pastor Allen's. They work out according to him. And then we were reminded as we walk through these, man, what do we see the focus? But the focus is always on God in these passages. See, there's a great depth of work that we see taking place in just these few verses here that can be plunged in mind for years and years in depth of study and come to find things. What do we see here? We see a doctrine that is being proposed, or not proposed, it was established by God. But the doctrine, we typically call it the elect. We maybe call it the election. It's the most simple term. How can I define that? It says those chosen by God and saved. And it's the elect can be sure that they will go to heaven. Paul will speak of the elect here. We see that spoken of in other places. Elect merely as those who have been saved. and will therefore belong to God. They are the family of God, and they will go on to glory. Most in evangelicalism and those who follow the Bible have no issue with that. Where do we go from there? Well, see, we have some words and we don't completely always understand them. We read like he chose. We read that we predestined and according to God's good pleasure and all of this. And so we begin to have to wrap our minds around the what do we do with these? How do we talk about this? You see, while I said many will agree on that there is an elect, where we begin to differ is exactly what does that mean? And so in wrestling with this passage today and just thinking about how we do this, and there's a lot that said, man, I could get into really some technical terms. I could begin to kind of try to persuade and to think about various arguments here and present them to you, but I don't think that's going to be helpful to us in this sense for a moment here today. And then just in wrestling with this, it came along and said, man, what is important? Man, so what's important that we need to take out of this passage? First and foremost, God provided salvation. Where do we see that? Verse 4, he chose. Now we go, he chose us who, how? In Christ. That's the in him. When did salvation for those who will be believers, when was it chosen to be in Christ? Before the foundation of the world. And so before Genesis 1:1 began to take place, salvation had been determined, and it will be through the blood of Christ. It will be through the atoning work of Christ. It will be through Jesus Christ dying a crucified death on the cross to satisfy the wrath of God. And we ask the question, who determined that? God himself. So we read, it says, so before the foundation of the world, it was determined that Christ would pay the penalty. Why? That we should what? Be holy and without blame. We will be seen as righteous. We will be seen as holy. We will be seen as not having ever sinned. And it's not because there was anything in us from our birth until our death that wreaked holiness. There was nothing in us that claimed to be sinless because we weren't. But Christ. So we talked numerous times before that takes us as we repent and we are being redeemed, that he covers us in his cloak that is stained in the blood, because he was the one true sacrificial lamb, and we are covered in his garment that declares us now holy and blameless to stand before God. Because he took my cloak, my clothes that was clothed in sin, and Christ paid that price. Why? That we could be seen without blame. Why did he do this? Because he loved us first. And because he loved us first, he predestined us that what? That those who would come to faith in Christ, those who would experience the conviction of their heart, would redeem and be repented, and they would be redeemed, and therefore they would receive as part of that, they would be considered adopted into the family of God. They would be adopted as sons. We could say they would be adopted as sons and daughters. To who and how were they adopted? They were adopted once again by Jesus Christ. Why was that? Well, he tells us, verse 5, according to the good pleasure of His will. Because God chose to do it. To His good pleasure. Verse 6. Why? To the praise and the glory of His grace, by which He made us, and we are now accepted. It says to the beloved, and who is that? Christ Himself, who is the giver of our lives, because He had taken the punishment and the payment of our sin. What's the important part that we need to understand? That God provided salvation through Christ. I'm here to tell you, there is no other gospel. There is no other name upon which we are to be saved, but other than the name of Christ. From before the foundation of the world, salvation was given, and it was given in Christ. Those of the Old Testament that died in faith in God, they look toward the cross of Christ. We who have been born since that, we look back to the work of the cross, but we look back to Christ. Christ is the one that links us all together. That is the central part. For someone to speak of a different way is not to speak the truth of Scripture. And so how did Christ do this? And Paul goes on to explain, and we pick up in verse 7 here, and what's he say? In Him, that is Christ, what do we have? We have redemption. We are redeemed. How? Through His blood. What do we find in that redemption? The forgiveness of sins. How? According to the riches of God's grace, according to the grace of God through Christ. What did He do? Which He made to abound toward us all in wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will. We may ask ourselves, how may I know the will of God? And there's a lot about God that God didn't tell us about Himself, but what we know about God that He wanted to make known to us, we have right here. You want to know the will of God? Get in the Word. Spend time in the Word. Spend time reading God's Word. Let the power of the Holy Spirit indwell you as He works. You work through the passages and think about what God is saying. Spend time communicating with God and follow what He leads you to go. And so what do we see? That God has revealed the mystery of salvation through Christ, through His Word, that we may find it. Why? According to His good pleasure, He desired for us to know what His will was, and He has given us His Word. He purposed it in Himself. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times. So He's bringing everything to a particular time. And we understand, man, we can go back to Genesis 1:1. And history as we know it begins there. And there's a day coming. We don't know the date yet. But history as we know it will end. But at the right time, God Himself, in the perfect time, did this. The dispensation, the fullness of the time, He might gather together in one all things in Christ. In that time when Christ was born of a virgin, dwelt among man, lived a sinless life, crucified, buried, resurrected, rose again, returned to the Father. Those things, all time has been centered right there. What does it say? So, man, those are in heaven, and then those that are in earth. So those that died before Christ in the cross, by faith, are found in Christ. Those since that by faith come to believe are found in Christ. What does it give us? Verse 11. So in Christ, we have obtained an inheritance. An inheritance that we did not deserve, an inheritance that is not owed to us, but God chose, according to His purpose, to work all things according to the counsel of His will. That was predestined that we would have these. That we, who first trusted in Christ, should be to the praise of His glory. Verse 13, we read, in Him you have also trusted. If you have put your faith in anything other than Jesus Christ, it is of no hope. But in Him you have also trusted. You have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Those blessings we talked about earlier. See it coming in right here. Through salvation, through having believed, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. Once you have come to faith in Christ and you believe, you are guaranteed the inheritance to those of the family. It's a guarantee of our inheritance until when? The redemption of the purchased possession. And that day will be to the praise of His glory. So we have blessings found only in God, because by faith we belong to God. May we be God's people. May we continue to be faithful and obedient, to know of the glory that has been bestowed upon us through that of Christ, that we may surrender our lives to Him, that He shall be greater, that we shall be less, that His work will continue to go forth, that the gospel will continue to go forth, that those who are sinners will continue to hear the gospel preached, continue to hear the gospel taught, and God will convict their hearts, and they will repent of their sins and be redeemed for the glory of God and for the inheritances to come. And so we do what? We who have found Christ give praise and glory, because we can do no other but to praise Him for the grace He has bestowed upon us, chosen long before I came into existence. By His grace, may God continue to work in our hearts and our minds, work in our soul with all in our strength for His glory and for His honor. Let's pray this morning. Dear Lord God, as we have come into Your house this day and we have presented Your word, Lord, may we be faithful. Not just in the hearing, but Lord, may we be faithful to steward what You have given to us, that You and You alone be glorified and honored and praised and lifted up. And Lord, thank You for Your grace. Lord, may it continue to go forth. Lord, may it continue to impact people who need to know You as Savior and Lord. And Lord, may we be faithful, may we be obedient, and Lord, may we be willing to be the earthly jars that carry Your word into a lost and dying world. Lord, we give You praise this day, for it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen.